14th, the week of April 14th, 2008.
Hold on.
Yes, and it's a lovely spring afternoon.
No, it's not.
I just wanted to say
it was a few days ago.
It looks a lot better when you're watching the Masters on HD.
Yeah, that's true.
But summer's just like for college type folk, it's only about 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that.
Despite the fact that spring hasn't even quite come yet.
Yeah, weird.
But I'm getting excited. I'm amassing my summer games list.
The stockpile.
Kinda, yeah.
That's what we should do it for next week. We should create our summer list and we can present them next week.
I was gonna do that right now, kind of for fun.
Oh. I haven't really considered it.
I just want to run it by. I can do something more official next week.
Do it for, shout him out right now.
I just want to do a little nice intro
here. Give us the highlights.
Yeah, I want to give you a nice intro. I want to beat Metroid Prime, finally.
Yes, you should do that.
Game that I think, at least three times I played through to the part where it's like, now go find all the 8 relics. Then, I just kind of stop. It's not so much like, oh, I don't want to backtrack. It's just like, sometimes I don't know what to even start.
Yeah, that's the trick with that part, is just getting started.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the platforming in that game is so good that I don't mind running through the environments.
Right.
The game's good.
Yeah. Two, I have to finish Persona 3.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of it before I took a break, about a month ago. I mean, you know, the game's long.
Right.
Long. Want to play through Lost Odyssey, probably? By the way, my one friend's about to beat it.
And, PJ is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
You haven't even played it in like. Well,
I stopped playing it about when you stopped playing Persona, so we're even.
Yeah, but you made a promise you're gonna finish it,
and I will.
Yeah, we'll see. And then last for now, I want to definitely play Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Finally beat that. What would be my best way of going about that now? Do we still have our PlayStation version of it?
Yes.
Is that probably? I mean, are the load times bad? I don't remember.
I want to. My first instinct was to say yes. We can test it and find out.
What else would I do? ROM it?
Yeah, I mean, if your reason for ROMing is that you have it on the PlayStation, you just don't want to deal with load times, I think that's legitimate.
Yeah, I know, but I just wish it would get Virtual Console or something.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking of this time. Anyways, let's go down the rundown for today's show. We're gonna talk about the news at first. You said there's not a whole lot of news?
Nah, this might be a short show this week.
Okay. That's why I came in with the intro like that. Wasn't that nice?
Nicely done.
Then we're going to talk about best golf game ever today.
Ooh.
Get it? Get the timeliness going on.
You're
there.
Good.
Then we're, I think I already know your pick. I won't say it.
Yeah.
Then we're,
I think everybody knows my pick. It's okay.
Then we're going to talk about, our week in gaming, what we've been playing. Then move on to downloadable game releases, the weekly game releases, then the 4-on-1 on 4-on-1, and that'll be the show today.
We got no mail, huh?
You don't have to say it all pathetic, like no one wanted to talk.
But I want mail.
Oh, you don't have to. You
know, no, wait, I'm lying. I did get a mail. It's a quick one from Derek, but it's worth mentioning.
I guess the mail barrel is back on.
Yes.
At the end,
I almost forgot.
Sweet. Goody.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I have some mail for Can They Be Champ. We could insert here if we want to talk about wrestling.
That's not our gig.
I know. That's why it was a joke.
Oh, okay. Good. Just check.
Okay. So take us through the news.
Let's start with the sad stuff. The Games for Windows, the official magazine, is no more. Jeff Green, the former editor-in-chief of the magazine, made a post on his blog to kind of confirm all the rumors that started circulating. Basically, it was a lack of newsstand readers, which meant fewer advertising dollars. So they're basically taking the magazine and all of its editors, and they're just going to work full-time online on 1UP.com. Unfortunately, the art team has been let go, so they're going to be seeking future employment. I mean, it happened so suddenly. They were actually almost done with the next issue, which was going to be a StarCraft II cover, and were told basically never mind.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I'm not going to say a revelation here, but print magazines for gaming seem to kind of be on the way out.
That's what Simon Cox said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what, just 2 years ago, even less than that, maybe, if Ziff Davis had 3 magazines,
mm-hmm.
then the official, the official PlayStation magazine mm-hmm. was done, and now this is done. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Simon Cox did an interview with GameSpot that you can go check out. He just kind of talks about kind of the business of it. You know, tries to reiterate, it has nothing to do with Ziff Davis's filing for Chapter 11. It was really just about GFW's own circulation issues. So, I mean, yeah, it sucks. I like that magazine a lot. I always thought it was really good. And we're going to get that same content. And they're going to keep doing their podcast every week, which is like my favorite.
Besides just like, you know, the whole like magazine problem. I mean, PC gaming in general just isn't that popular anymore. It isn't.
It's different now. I mean, we see the shift to casual games, browser based games.
Yeah, but just because you like World of Warcraft and play that all the time doesn't mean like, oh, I had to get a subscription to GFW.
Yeah, I think that's a large part of the problem. And then the other part of the problem too is if you're playing the game on the PC, you can stay in the same chair and go to like, you know, a website like World of War Mania,
right,
and get almost a lot of the same information. They tried to differentiate themselves with a lot of their editorial content. And when that stuff would eventually get posted on 1UP after the issue had run its newsstand cycle, that was frequently the most viewed subject matter on 1UP. So, I mean, the demand for that content was there, just not in that medium. So, soldier on.
We'll see. We'll see how long EGM lasts.
Well, that's the other thing.
I know Simon Clark, yeah. He says, oh, it's fine.
Well, yeah. He said EGM has
it has an expiration date. What? EGM's not going to last forever. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, I mean, how... Maybe sooner than
2-3 years, yeah.
2-3, yeah, we'll see.
That's my guess.
And then this happened too. Dan Shu leaves.
Yeah, so Dan Shu, who was the former editor-in-chief of EGM, recently promoted to the editorial director for all of 1UP, tendered his resignation effective April 25th.
I remember him being in EGM back when I read it when I was like a little kid.
Just under 12 years.
Yeah.
With a one-year stint to go to Gamers.com, which...
I didn't know about that before.
Yeah, it was a .com upstart that didn't last too long, and then he came back. But, yeah, it seems like they did this whole restructuring thing, and then like a lot of people got kind of higher up jobs, and then all started quitting.
Maybe I don't know what that's about.
Because you had Brian Intihar, at least he left for development. Shu like doesn't really. It's kind of like Mark McDonald when he left. He doesn't have any plans or anything. He's just leaving. I don't understand. I mean, like his reasoning was, you know, I've been here for 12 years. It's time to move on. I mean, don't you usually work at a job for 30 years and then retire? Isn't that the way it usually
works? There's probably more going on here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not the happy sitcom family and great place to be that they kind of make out.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with their kind of, their approach has been like, oh, we're like a family and listen to 1UP ears and watch the 1UP show. It's like a sitcom and we're all characters. Yeah, the problem with that is though, when you see one of your favorite characters leave the sitcom, you get sad and you stop watching.
That's kind of what happened with you when Luke Smith left, right?
Right. It wasn't a conscious decision. Like, oh man, I'm going to stop listening to 1UP Yours. But Luke Smith left, and 1UP Yours for me was Luke Smith, Garnet Lee,
Shane
John. And John Davison. And, you know, Davison's gone now too. And I mean, I'm sure it's good. I'm sure they're doing good things.
I mean, obviously, I still listen. Yeah,
obviously,
I enjoy it.
This very show probably owes a little bit to it. But I mean, it's just not the same. And every time a person leaves now, it's not just like, oh, a faceless employee left. It's like, oh, someone I like left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of a bit of a problem for them. And just think about, like, people leave GameSpot, like, once a month. We're like, oh, man, the Gertzman Gate strikes back. It seems like
I didn't know who Jeff Gertzman was before all that started at all.
But,
it
seems like the kind of the resignation rate at 1UP is a bit more distressing, almost, from that same time period. I mean...
Well,
like what? 4 from GameSpot? I mean, there's probably been at least 4 from 1UP.
Yeah, well, recently, I know 1UP better than I know GameSpot, but they've lost, including Dan's left, Brian Intihar, Mark McDonald, Patrick Klepek, John Davison, Luke Smith, and Darren Gladstone.
Okay, Luke Smith was kind of a while ago.
It was a year. Point. It's been about a year.
Really?
Last April.
It's been longer.
It was almost exactly a year.
See what I mean, though? It's like, seems like people are kind of eager to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they don't want to say, but
yeah,
if it was so great, happy, hunky dory, like they make it out to be sometimes, they wouldn't be leaving en masse.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Well, in the humor department, Layer's getting a patch in Japan that confirmed a release. I suspect it'll come everywhere else that adds analog controls to the game.
Again, Layer. I said this before. Layer's biggest problem is not the analog control. It's just
And even if it was, this is kind of too little too late, I think, at this point.
Yeah, it should have been there from the beginning.
So in addition to these controls, you'll get the DualShock 3 Rumble, the targeting reticule, which is a nice thing to always have in a flight action game.
Usually.
And Dragon.
I think before they're like, man, if you're really flying a dragon, you won't have a targeting reticule. And
you wouldn't move with an analog stick. It'd be like Reigns.
Well, that was the, yeah, they pitched it, and I was like, okay, that could work. Because even like, what was it? In Shadow of the Colossus, you didn't really directly control the horse. I really got the sense that I was controlling the guy controlling the horse.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and
is this Factor 5 or Level 5?
Factor 5.
Yeah, Factor 5 ain't no, whatever those ego guys are.
Yeah, I forget the team name. But yeah, it was not controlling the reins of a dragon. It was one to one. It could have been an X-Wing, it could have been an airplane, it could have been anything.
It was just stupid.
Yeah.
That's enough about Lair, Christ sakes.
So, Battlefield Bad Company, we've talked about how they had DLC weapons coming, and due to community bitching, they will now be free.
Well, I heard it say that they weren't like sure they were going to go with the idea. They kind of threw the idea out to kind of test how it would go over, and obviously it went over very poorly with everybody.
Right. Well, what do they expect? Hey, we're going to sell you a game for $60 and then charge you $10 for five more weapons.
I don't know what they were thinking, but.
Well, the way it's going to break down now is there were the five weapons that were the gold weapons that they said originally, if you got the gold edition of the game, you got them, and later down the line, they would be released free. Now, it's just gold purchasers get these weapons right off the bat. Everybody else will get them when they reach maximum level. I think it's like 24, 25. The other five weapons, which were going to be paid DLC for everybody, are now free, but to get them, you have to participate in various promotional campaigns.
I have no idea what the hell that even
They mean. Said it's just as easy as signing up for a newsletter. Now, who knows how hard it'll be to unsubscribe to said newsletter.
Yeah, why not? I don't know. Whatever.
It's done.
I'm covering this game that I never have any intention of ever playing a lot.
Yeah.
Like Battlefield,
it's just a dangerous precedent. Because what I really don't get is they were very eager to stress these weapons offer no competitive advantage. They're balanced so that, you know, if you find some of these weapons, he'll be no better off than you. That kind of seems to me like a reason why you shouldn't buy it. Like, these aren't going to help you in any way. That'll be $5, please.
I don't know what they're thinking. They
especially a shooter.
They have some idea.
I can see if it's like a action RPG, hey, we're going to sell you some cool loot or something. But, I mean, these games rely on the balance of their weapons. Could you imagine if, like, in Halo 3, like, only people who paid $5 got, like, access to the battle rifle and Spartan laser?
Yeah, that sounds like a good marketing move to me.
Yeah, but it'd be terrible.
I think people in Halo, like, what choice do you have? Battlefield, they'll just keep playing Halo, I think.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Something more exciting.
Okay, this is more exciting. An episodic Strong Bad game is coming to WiiWare. Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people.
Did you watch the trailers for this?
I did watch the trailer.
All three of them?
Oh, there's three. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I just watched the one. You told me about.
There's like, that was the best one. But there's also like, you watched the one where they're like kind of wearing fake wigs and they're like,
yeah.
They're like, Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people, but you can play too. And, but like the other one was like, it was like he was just doing an episode of, Strong Bad Email. And like someone asked him, why don't you make a real game? He's like, and he was joking for a little bit, like a normal. And then all of a sudden he was like, wait, you mean like this? And he like grabs the camera. I was like, whoa, it's a 3D world. And then the other one was like, it was kind of like their April Fool's joke, but it's like, it's almost like an airplane safety video where he like has like the Wii Mode and he's like talking to you how not to hurt yourself and stuff. But they're all pretty funny.
Yeah.
It should be cool.
So yeah, it'll be five episodes once a month on WiiWare. Telltale that games are developing, the guys who did Sam and Max. So I trust them to stay on the schedule and everything. So should be fun.
All right.
Next up, the Metal Gear Solid 4 Limited Edition. We talked about it before, but word came out this week. It is exclusive to GameStop only.
It has better cover art, which makes me happy. So
yes.
I'll be getting that.
Word of people en masse canceling their pre-orders at places like Best Buy and Fry's and whatnot to now go get their limited editions.
I gotta upgrade mine to the limited edition soon.
Yeah, it's $85 will be the final price.
It's coming with some good stuff though.
It is.
And it's only $15 more. It sounds like a lot because we kind of still think of $50 games sometimes, but
$25 more.
Oh, $25 more? Yeah, you're right. My math is horrible.
I mean, when you consider you're getting a Blu-ray with all that content, I mean, you pay $25 for a Blu-ray anyway. So
you're getting documentaries, a CD.
You're getting plenty.
You should be getting that. Yeah. Okay.
So the PlayStation Firmware 2.3, which contains the new PlayStation Store, will arrive on April 15th. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
As a result of that, the day you're listening to this, April 14th, if you know when it comes out, the entire PlayStation Store will be down. So hopefully you didn't really need to download anything pressing.
Right. Probably not. Okay.
And from the rumors department, MTV News is reporting on a 360 Wiimote-like device coming at the end of the year. They have sources from an anonymous developer who drew a mock-up in MS Paint to show what he had been shown, which is, it basically looks like a Wiimote. In place of a D-pad, there's an analog stick. There's four face buttons. It has a microphone and a speaker. And it will interact with the Xbox Live Vision camera.
I mean, are people shocked that this is going to happen?
He also described, this anonymous source described the entire thing as a clusterfuck.
Why?
Just because, like, I mean, it's just like, last we need minute-y. To get this out so we have a bullet point to match the Wii, and there's really no real strategy behind it. Like, I understand Rare is the developer behind it, like, who's going to be doing a lot of the games for it to start.
Rare.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that going.
They're also going to have a Mii-like avatar system coming to the 360, only for these games that use this peripheral. But they'll be more detailed than the Miis. Like, they'll have limbs.
We'll see how this goes over.
But the rumors are that they're pitching to third-party developers. You can very easily now port your Wii games to the 360. But additionally, they say they want to get, like, Halo and Forza and Fable-like experiences using this device as well.
I just can't see it happening.
I don't either.
I can't see the audience of 360 wants getting 360s.
Yeah, where's the value proposition? You're not going to, unless you have a $250 SKU that's packed with this thing and whatever game Rare puts out first, that, like, you know, to directly compete with the Wii, it's not going to work.
They want to kind of convince casual gamers that there is a console war and that they shouldn't just get Nintendo Wii on mass.
But I don't think they,
but like,
they
yeah,
consider
they don't care.
Else.
Like,
yeah. Wii has become iPod. It really has.
Yeah, it's has.
If it hasn't, it's getting there. Because remember, I mean, the fact we all scoffed at that name, and now nobody bats an eye when someone says, hey, I'm playing with my Wii.
Right.
Nobody even...
Well, I kind of laughed a little bit there. You worded it a little funny. All right.
Last and least, so whatthayplay.com, which is John Davison's new website, focused on informing parents about the games their children are playing, put up a poll where they ask, what would be the most offensive thing you would see in a video game that your kids are playing? And the results are not too surprising, just annoying. Coming in first place at 37%, men and women having sex. At 27%, two men kissing. Losing by 1% to two men kissing is a graphically severed human head. And at the bottom at 10% is multiple uses of the F word. So we would rather have our children see two men kissing than see a man get decapitated realistically.
That stuff happens in PG-13 movies now.
I know.
Decapitation. Violence is, you know, it's weird. I'm kind of surprised two men kissing is in higher. I'm surprised that we don't fear that more than just normal sex.
I know. It's just so
funny
because...
What if it was two men humping, if it would be higher?
Ooh, yes. It's just funny because in Europe, it's like the exact opposite.
Yeah, exactly. It's just twisted values in a way.
John Davison in his blog just basically said WTF. Literally, he typed W period G period F period. Question mark.
But it's not too shocking. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's been for a while now. I mean, games have been violent forever, and there's been some controversy, but, you know, Hot Coffee and Mass Effect controversies were, like,
sex
ridiculous. Right. Yeah. Well, what do they call the PSP?
Oh, the PlayStation Pornable.
That was pretty cool.
That was the article where the guy, this is a paraphrase, but the key word here is direct quote, where he said, the PlayStation Portable uses technology to magically transfer data off the internet to the device. Like, are we really calling Wi-Fi magic still? It's 2008, for God's sake.
It's so crazy, man. This little device can go on the internet.
Oh,
it's God, funny when we blame devices instead of the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you going to do? Complain about the internet?
The best one I ever saw was when this guy tried to do this expose on the dangers of the DS and its wireless capabilities. Because I guess, like, this family, there were two families taking a road trip together, but they were driving in two separate cars. But they stayed pretty close on the highway, and the girls were able to play the wireless games even from car to car. So this guy's now trying to say how easily a predator could drive up next to your family
and join your child's PictoChat session, and you wouldn't even know. So that means, I mean, the myriad of options here. Your kid has to be just, for no reason, just sitting in PictoChat staring at it. Some guy has to drive up to you, continue driving, and manipulate his DS on the off chance that he finds a kid who is just sitting in PictoChat. It's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Why doesn't he just go wait at like the school bus stop and like,
yeah. Wanna...
God.
Oh, and then he was all up in arms too because the Nintendo instruction manual says the DS's range is 30 meters. Then he went into like a mall, which is just a huge open atrium, and it worked at like 300 feet, which is, you know, three times that distance. And he was like, oh, like, they're lying. The predators can be even further away. Yeah, Nintendo. If you're in a huge open area, but they're talking like, you know, household use.
Nintendo's like, guys, I think we accidentally made a device that is just going to cause a rampant child raping. We're just going to have to lie a little bit in the instruction manual.
And you know what? We better make some friend codes.
Yeah, friend codes. Yeah, I think, well, you're really going to blame Nintendo for like not trying hard enough to like.
Yeah,
they don't let us talk to people online. Like, that's been around since there was, like, even really an internet.
Yeah.
I'm not even allowed to know their names.
Well, Smash, yeah, you're not even allowed to know who you're playing with in Smash Bros., right?
No, unless they're already your friend and you inserted their 50-digit number.
Yep.
So, yeah, really, Nintendo? Have you been on Xbox Live?
Yeah. Well, that was
the that's what concerns me is, like, just, like, the whole, like, dehumanization that is present on, like, Xbox Live.
Well, there was a story of a mother who, like, you know, the kid got a pornographic photo of some guy that he took with his vision camera. She flips out. I had no idea this device could do this. It's like, you know what? It's what I say. If you're going to buy your kid a $400 piece of hardware, learn how it works. Because the Xbox has so many parental controls. You can only talk to people on your friends list. You cannot receive pictures. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. And she didn't even know it could do that. Read what you're buying your kids.
I mean, God, if it's $400, don't you think it might be able to do a little bit more than play Mario?
Seriously. Well, that's the problem we face. People think that's all these are. They don't realize just how much of a multimedia convergence device so many of these game systems are becoming. People don't know there's a web browser on the PSP. You know, they don't understand that it's the same internet that a computer goes on.
It's all the same internet, everybody.
Yeah.
Isn't that
what Net Zero always says?
Yeah. Nintendo can't say, we're going to take everyone to a different, safer internet.
Yeah. The Nintendo internet.
I'd like to see him try that.
Mario will run around your websites and block all the naughty bits.
There's no text, because that's just dangerous.
Oh, no.
We can't communicate. We'll just have...
We can't have pictures either. It'll just be a bunch of Mario
characters. It's just going to be a bunch of pictures of puppies. And that'll be the entire Nintendo net. It'll be one website. I could go on and on. But
yeah.
Okay, I think we dragged out this very small amount of news as much as we could.
Yeah, we tried.
Nothing else happened. There's the confirmation of the silver... PS3. Was that this week?
Was it this week?
I mean, we talked about it last week as a rumor, but...
Yeah.
Silver PS3. Well,
we don't know if it's the 40 gig, the 80 gig. We don't know if the game's coming with it, pricing, but it is coming.
It's coming-ish. All right. Let's talk about best ever. Best golf game ever.
Uh-huh.
Masters this week. It's timely.
Indeed.
So, you... Well, let's go back to the beginning. How about golf?
The beginning?
For the NES.
For the NES, which is a game that Dad and I play a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I really played it very much.
No, but it's a really good game. I mean, and then the sequel to that was NES Open, which my roommate Andrew, when he bought an NES off eBay last year, he played a lot of that game. Really liked it.
And you played golf for the Virtual Console? I mean, not Virtual Console, the Virtual Boy.
I don't remember it. I'm sure I did.
Maybe.
I'm sure we rented it.
Wait a second.
Well, there was always the old Lynx games on the PC.
I never played any of those.
Jonathan Abuda used to have those, and we'd play them over at his house. And it was weird because it was that, like, the digitized actors in place for the golfers, and
right.
It was made up of, like, they actually took pictures of trees and stuff to put in, so it kind of looked real, but didn't. It was very Uncanny Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the mechanics of that game were always very sound. It used that three-click system that a lot of the older games all used.
Right. This is kind of a stretch, but Kirby's Avalanche? No, not Kirby's Avalanche. Kirby's Dream Course.
That was a fun game.
That was a fun game. It was golf.
It was golf-esque.
It was Kirby abilities.
More mini golf.
It was a pretty clever game. I wonder if that's on Virtual Console yet.
No, I don't think so.
I think it actually might be.
Really?
Maybe. Kirby's Avalanche might be. One of them is. Well, don't worry about it. Yeah. Then we got the Camelot games.
Yes. They started with Hot Shots Golf and Mario Golf.
I didn't play the 64 Mario Golf.
I didn't either. I did not get into that series until Advanced Tour.
You played Toadstool Tour, didn't you?
Yeah. Cause, and then that had the connectivity where you could take your Advanced Tour character and put them in the GameCube version. Okay. That was
cool. I like Toadstool Tour. That's weird to say. I like the GameCube one a lot.
There you go.
I mean, the three-click system, it had those nice spins and power shots.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool courses, actually.
Yeah, too. It was fun.
They were Mario themed, but they weren't like, oh, here comes, like, items.
Yeah, it wasn't like that kind of where every other Mario spinoff where it's like you're about to win and then it's like the game just drops a big fuck you on you.
It's pretty much golf.
Yeah, it's just fun. With warp pipes and stuff.
Then,
I mean, the big behemoth out there right now is Tiger Woods.
I like 2006. That was the first one I played. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
360. I know.
Except the only thing.
It didn't have like all the courses for some reason.
And the big problem with that is whatever stupid reason they put the turbo button, because it was the black button in the Xbox version. And when you play VC games, or VC games, backwards compatible, the black button becomes the left bumper. And they left it there in the 360 version. So you had to swing and click with the same hand. I had to switch the swing controls to the right analog stick to separate them. And then in later versions, they did put it to the A button, which, you know, well, makes sense.
I played the PS3 version of 07. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it as much for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I swear to God, I just wasn't hitting straight in that version.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did complain about that. But that one, didn't it reintroduced the three-click system if you wanted it.
Yeah, but I kind of liked the idea.
Yeah, the analog swing.
I just wasn't, like, on the 360 version, there was a point where I was actually getting pretty good.
And yeah.
I mean, it had been a few months, but I was just not doing anything.
There was the last edition of Lynx that was on the Xbox. I had it, I don't know what, I can't find it. But it was really good. I really like that one a lot.
But you really, I mean, you talked about this game a lot before. I think you said it was your favorite Game Boy Advance game was the Advance Tour from Mario Kart. Because it was, like, RPG-like.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we said a lot about before, so we might have. You know, might not have to give it the full treatment again. If you want
right.
to say something.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, everything I've said stands. It's infinitely fun. And I think what it does well is most of these golf games are best played in multiplayer. And that game's still fun in multiplayer. But that was really the only one that were like the single player was really engaging to me as well.
Right. All right. So that's your best ever pick, I think.
Yep.
I mean, I don't have a strong best ever pick here, obviously. I liked Tiger Woods 06 a lot, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know the 360 version got criticized a lot for being.
Yeah, hit. I have 07, and that's a pretty good version.
I have 07.
No, you have I think you have 08.
But it is. Yeah.
I remember the sports games were off a year.
No, then I had that was 07 that I played. I was talking about the 360.
No, the first one was.
Well, whatever one you had that I played a lot.
You played the first gen one. I played the second gen one. Then you got the third gen one in PS3. I think that's it.
I'll just say Tiger Woods 06. I like the most. Okay.
Just fun. As a quick aside, Camelot, I mentioned this to you earlier in the week, but they're making We Love Golf for the Wii, being published by Capcom, which...
That's Capcom characters.
You know, it'll have that Camelot gameplay to it, but it'll use that kind of the way that they do the golf games and everything with the spin and everything, I presume. And some Capcom characters and costumes, including a Apollo Justice costume.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, then. Weekend gaming. God, I just started the Shiva, which is that...
The Shiva.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say the Final Fantasy Summon, sorry. Which is like that, it's like that old school looking, independent adventure game.
It looks a lot like King's Quest VI.
Yeah, it does. And, it's fully voice acted and everything. I mean, you know, it's old school. I just started it. It's been fun so far. There haven't been very many inventory puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually picked up a single thing into my inventory.
Right.
It's mostly like... You catch keywords from people and like you find clues. A lot of it's like going onto your like internet browser and like searching for things, searching for like keywords you pick up.
Your literal internet browser or in game?
No, in game. Okay. Like an in game, what do they call it? Not JuNet, but something like that almost. Something like JuNet or something like that. So it's kind of something like that. And like you check your mail and things like that. It's different, but it's cool.
Real quick, I forgot to mention last week because it happened like the night after we recorded the show from 2 weeks ago, but I did finish God of War, Chains of Olympus.
Yeah, that's right, you did.
And,
I thought we talked about this.
No, I didn't talk about beating it, I just talked about how I started playing it. But yeah, the battery almost died on me as the final cutscene was playing. I was like, no! But I was able to plug it in and it had to restart the cutscene. But I really enjoyed that game.
Right. I mean, it's God of War.
Yeah, just, but it's just I like the way they handled the controls a lot better than that with the magic. Like, I actually used everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's weird. The controls, like, weren't worse. Like, maybe better?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, kind of weird.
Switching weapons on the fly was quick. And, well, I was playing it, like, just a little before I went to bed that night. And then as I was running across this giant thing of chain, I noticed a large hand moving in the background and saw one of the chained-up titans.
Right.
At what point I said, I have to keep going. Next thing I knew, it was 3 in the morning. I had work the next morning at 7, but I beat the game.
Nice.
It was quite the marathon.
And I know you played another PSP game.
Yes, you lent me your copy of Crisis Core Final Fantasy, which I was an extra in a film, so I took it with me to use in holding. And you were kind of surprised with how far I said I'd gotten.
Yeah, surprised you. I am surprised you liked it as much as you
did. I love it.
Yeah,
I think it's so much fun. I love the combat system. It looks gorgeous. The story's good. The voice acting's good. I told you I was amazed. There's a part where Genesis is kind of the villain, I guess. He was talking, and as he was talking, Zack was talking over him. I could not believe I saw that in a Japanese RPG game.
Usually there's a very awkward kind of cut.
Oh, I know. It was incredible. But
like, I am like one item away from like the final boss in that game, and I have been for like a week.
Well, I left it upstairs for you before
right.
I left
yeah,
this
I know.
Weekend.
I know I have it. I just have very little left to do. I just gotta do it.
Right.
And I will beat it. I played Smash Bros. I don't think I played anything very exciting this
week.
See, I've been playing Super Castlevania 4. It's Castlevania.
Well, I got around to playing the new maps in Call of Duty 4, and they are really, really good.
Right. I bet Broadcast is the best, right?
Which one?
Broadcast.
Yeah, I played that map, and I forget that. I think it's Domination, where there's 3 points you have to capture, and as you hold them, you accumulate points, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I might.
The other one I really like, I forget the name. It's the new outdoors one in a wood setting.
I know what you're
but it's
about.
Different from all the other wood settings they have in the game. It's a little brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I mean, just that's a good map pack. That's the way they should be done. I think I mentioned on the show last week, we were talking about that the CD Dramatica by Yoko Sama Ochier, the composer of Kingdom Hearts and various other Square games. And there was a song in the soundtrack that I swore I heard before.
You thought it was from Chrono Trigger, and I was like, no, it's not from Chrono Trigger.
Well, I think I figured out what I thought. The song starts with these kind of chimes, and I think it sounds just like the chimes that play in the beginning of Chrono Trigger when that bell's ringing as your mother opens the window.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the song, I mean, granted, all these songs have a little bit of familiarity to them. But I was trying to figure out what this is from, and it turns out it's from a game called Live Alive. And it was a Square RPG released in the mid-90s for Super Nintendo, Japan only. And then I found out that there was a fan effort to translate the game, which was completed in 2003, I believe.
Mm.
So I decided to check it out. The way the game's structured, it's kind of like Saga Frontier, where it's kind of almost like 9 mini-RPGs. And after you play through all 9, there's like the final chapter where all the characters from all the individual episodes come together to fight the ultimate evil.
Right.
And each one is set in a different time period. There's a caveman episode where, like, language isn't even invented yet. So it's all done through little emote icons, I guess, that pop up for all the conversations. There's, you know, a medieval knight, a Chinese kung fu artist.
The cowboy.
The cowboy chapter, which is the one I started playing. There's like near future, far future. I think the characters in the future episode are named like Kirk and Picard or something like that.
Wow.
But I think that's more the fan translators doing.
But that might be right.
And the battles, it's weird. It almost looks like you're playing a tactical RPG, like it's got the grids and everything. You just move around and pick your attacks whenever you want. And it's like you can almost sense the ATV timers going on in the background.
Right.
But your location will impact what attacks you can use because they'll go diagonally or sideways in a line or whatever. And it's really interesting. I'm almost surprised that this has not been released or even as a GBA port or something that they could have translated and released. It's a really solid game. So I suggest people check that out.
All right, then. Is that it for you this week?
I believe so.
Let's go ahead and say it.
Okay.
All right, then. So, the downloadable game releases. What do we have for Virtual Console?
Yeah, the Virtual Console. First up, you remember this. Yoshi's Cookie.
I do. We had Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah, it was a fun game. I like Yoshi more.
You know, they made a sequel for the Super Nintendo. No one ever talks about it.
I think they both came out at the same time.
Interesting. Really? Yeah. You might be right, actually. But it's getting crapped on a lot by
yeah,
people, but you know, it's a puzzle game.
I don't think I did.
It was definitely a late NES title.
Yeah,
I wouldn't buy it.
The other one is Bases Loaded, which is a arcade baseball game.
I get Bad News Baseball. That was the one I liked from NES.
Yep.
Xbox
Live Arcade, Ikaruga, another game.
Yeah, we played Ikaruga. We downloaded. We played through it.
Far as we could.
I got to the second level boss once. That's pretty exciting.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard, but so much fun.
And it's a great, great port.
Yeah, I think it's one of those Xbox Live Arcade games I can safely say everyone should buy.
Yes.
PSN obviously doesn't have anything.
Right.
Because it's down.
GameTap, let's see, something called Iceland 2. Something with penguins.
Oh.
They brought the full game of Uru Ages Beyond Mists out. Like the single player, because I always had Uru Live, but now that that's dead, they just put out single player Uru. Tank Battalion, which is an old arcade game.
Okay.
And the Season 5 finale of Season 2. That's the Episode 5, Season 2. What's New Beelzebub, where our heroes go to Hell Limited Liability Corporation.
All right. Should be fun for them.
Yeah. And, I mean, as an aside, to people who've kind of been holding out on this season, like I kind of did, technically, you could pay $10 for a month of GameTap and have plenty of time to play through all 5 episodes. So, if you want to just play them once, you could do it for $10 right now.
There you go. And then real games. A big release was, well, this already came out on 360 and PS3, but for the PC, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas 2 will be coming out.
Yep. Which is on Steam as well, Ubisoft's now part of Steam.
You should go rent that and play it.
Yeah, I would like to.
We have free rental coupons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We should.
Gran Turismo 5 Prologue's coming out.
Oh, yeah, it'll be there when the store launches.
Mm-hmm. Should be exciting for playing people. Yep. Europa
Universalis Rome.
PC, April 15th.
Strategy game.
I figured as much. Sherlock Holmes Nemesis, PC, April 15th.
I played a Sherlock Holmes game, a demo of which was on Steam. I don't know if this is the same game or a sequel.
There have been a lot of kind of bizarre Sherlock
Holmes. Yeah, the demo for the one I played wasn't bad.
I had no idea.
It was an old school 3D point-click adventure game.
I didn't know this was coming out already. The Okami port to the Wii.
I've heard people say the controls didn't work that well on it.
Really?
It was imprecise, and it was almost better on the PS2 controls.
Lols.
Yeah.
What about, I thought IGN, I didn't read the review, but I read like a little kind of like, you know, one like the headline. It sounded positive. But I mean, I don't know. Teenage Zombies Invasion of the Alien Brain Thingies for the DS, April 15th.
They spelled thingies wrong.
Whatever, but I kind of like, this game has a lot of advertisements.
I've never heard of it till right
really?
Now.
Really? It's written a lot of advertisements. I guess I think there's going to be a midnight sale at the Nintendo World Store. I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know. Don't worry. I mean, just.
I'm just confused. I've literally never heard of it.
I think it might just be like a kind of platformer.
Huh.
I don't know. Strange. It's probably not very good.
Yeah.
Rondo of Swords for the DS.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about that one a while.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball 2K8 Fantasy All-Stars DS. April 14th.
Looks like their way of getting 2K8 on DS. This looks a little
It looks like Backyard Baseball.
Yeah.
Turok is coming out for the PC April 15th.
That game's doing really well.
Well, it's not too surprising. Yeah. It's just another FPS. Jack Keane, thank you. PC, April 15th.
Venture game for the PC.
You know, it's funny because, like, it sure does seem like there are a lot of bad, well, maybe not bad, but, like, mediocre adventure games coming out.
I think it's an easy genre for indie gamers, indie developers
I guess
to do,
so.
You know?
The Final Fantasy XI Vanadil Collection is coming out for the PC.
This April is already 15th. On PS2 and 3.
I thought so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is 2008. So different from the one you got. Was yours 2007?
I don't know what would be different.
Yes.
Summer Sports Paradise Island for the Wii, April 15th. Looks like minigame.
I think it's kind of like a Wii Sports-esque thing.
Right. The Last Sims 2 expansion, Kitchen and Bath Interior Design Stuff. Is that really the name of it? Kitchen and Bath Interior Design Stuff.
Is this really the last one?
I'm pretty sure, because 3 is going to be coming out, right?
That didn't stop expansion packs for 1.
We'll see. I was just guessing. I'm pretty sure. Okay, Emergency Mayhem for the Wii, April 15th. Wasn't there a game like this on arcade Sega made?
Yeah, it was kind of like Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, but with an ambulance, and you had to drive slowly, or else the little kid would die.
Yeah.
High School Musical 2, Work This Out! Exclamation point. DS, April 15th. The High School Musical 2 games. I wouldn't expect much.
Right.
All
right,
let's go to 4-1 Mania. Mm-hmm. First off, the 10th hour, Derek Robbins' top 10 list. This is the top 10 things I don't miss about games. So I kind of encourage people to actually read the column. It'll be kind of hard for us to just talk about. But number 10 is a lack of demons.
No, it's demos.
I read it as demons before. Well, I'm also far away from it. I was like right there with them too. Like, yeah, man, I'm sick of demons. They're so stupid.
No, I'm sorry to say that says demos.
What does he mean by lack of?
It's just how many demos for Nintendo 64 games did you play?
Oh, he doesn't miss that there. He's happy there are more demos now.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Now more easily try before we buy.
Oh, I mean, demos were kind of a thing of the CD era.
Yeah.
I know. Game Market's disregard of...
Game Market disregards or insults girl gamers.
Right, like those old Barbie games. I mean, it kind of still happens, but...
A little bit.
Maybe
like,
not.
Like games like My Horsey and Me on PC.
Right, right. So, but yeah, it's not that.
Exclusivity everywhere for number 8, which, like you can see, there are still exclusives, but it's not as prevalent as it once was.
No, it's not, especially with 360 and PS3. And
yeah.
God, even franchises we thought would always be on one system, like Devil May Cry.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Number 7, online play, what's that?
Yeah, we have more online play, except for, it's even there now for some Nintendo franchises, maybe not.
Yeah, they're getting there. 6 is shoddy arcade ports. Showing a screenshot of the Turtles arcade.
Hey, I like that version of that game.
It was alright.
Of course, yeah, the Xbox Live version is probably better.
Number 5 says, stuck? Too bad.
Yeah, it used to be, if you were stuck, you had to go buy a magazine or a strategy guide. Now we have game packs.
A big part of the problem, too, is games back then were kind of designed with that arcade mentality of just trying to get your money.
Yeah.
And not necessarily being there for you to beat.
Oh, yeah. But game packs saved all of that.
Yep. Number 4 is blowing on the cartridge, which I almost kind of miss in a strange way.
It's nostalgic.
He also, what's this game called that he's showing the picture of? Wooden Water Rage.
He had that game.
Yeah, that game was sweet.
The donkey
the surfing gorilla and the
Tiki
mask guy skateboard.
I'm surprised anyone else ever played that game.
I almost disagree with it. I mean,
movie games are bad, number 3.
I think movie games were better back then, a lot of them. There were still some crappy ones, but, I mean, we talked about the Disney games.
Like Aladdin's good,
Yeah.
And today you have Riddick was good and but even that, was it a movie game or was it it wasn't like the Chronicles of Riddick game. It wasn't like the same story, you know what I mean?
No, the Aladdin games were.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, right, okay.
It's kind of based off a movie, but this is the movie game.
Right.
It's weird.
I think that's a better way for both movie games to work and game movies to work. That they should play in the universe but not try to directly do each other, you know?
Yeah. Okay, what's number 2?
Big power sources.
Yeah, although, the 360 has the biggest power source I've ever seen, though.
I think it's more the actual, where the outlet goes in. You can get just a normal surge pack and plug in everything.
Yeah, true. But we have bricks now.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Number 1 is passwords.
Yeah, obviously. God, passwords.
I don't think anyone misses those. You got Super Castlevania 4, and we didn't know if it was going to ask for passwords or not.
Well, yeah,
and that screen did.
Luckily, since it's on the Wii, I can just keep pushing continue and, kind of suspend it.
Right. God.
So what else is kind of going? I want to say that me and you, we're lined up to be doing our own fact or fiction.
Yeah. So
that should be there next week. Then Game Plan by James McGee's got the greatest video game anti-heroes ever, Part 4. So go see what's there. Achievement Unlocked by Rod Orchesky is talking about Sneak Peek. What's this about, Ad Guy?
Let's see. With the achievement list available, is... Oh, I think it's.
Oh, it's do you look at the achievements? Do you just want to see, you want to be surprised? It's kind of fun when you just, do something oh, you got an achievement.
Yeah, they're the achievement hunters, and there are people who, to them, achievements are a nice little thing that pops up. I fall somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I think it depends on the game. Crackdown, I'm looking at the list. Mass Effect, not so much.
Right. But there's a lot of articles on 4-1 right now you can go look at.
There always are.
Right. And so, stop looking at teenage zombies.
Oh.
Sorry, but what do you want
to
say?
Oh, so to the mail barrel.
Well, what's this one? Are you even going to look it up or you remember?
No,
it?
It's
from who?
Derek sent this. I believe it was Derek. Now I feel like I got to double check. Pretty sure it was Derek. If it's not, I'll correct it. But after our discussion of Sonic the Hedgehog, and I was talking about how I really wanted both the lot of Sonic the Hedgehog comics number 1 through 50 and the issue
where... I think you got another. I think you actually got a super an exploding barrel email right now.
Wow.
Like, you just checked your email and you have a thing.
Cool. Well, I'll read this in a second. I just want
to. Why don't you just read it now and you can just kind of cut it out?
Let me finish the thought I'm on.
Okay.
But,
is that from Mark?
Yeah, that's Mark.
Good work, Mark.
Well done. Good timing, sir. Jeez. But he sent me the link to, and I was talking, I really wanted to read that one issue where the old school Robotnik, like, came back and, like, fought the crappy Eggman.
Right.
Yes, it is Derek.
It
was there. Well, he sent me a link to this website that has the scans of every Sonic comic ever.
Oh.
So I'll throw up that link on the blog with the show. But thank you, Derek. I was very excited to see you send me that.
He also liked Mickey Mania, which is good. Because, like, somebody, I heard one person say, like, oh, it's bad. I'm like, was it bad? Oh, no.
Like, what have we done?
Right.
And, Derek had said he'd never heard of the Castle of Illusion game, so he'd be sure to check those
out. Those games are awesome.
Awesome. All right, so here's the email we literally just now, 8 minutes ago, according to my Gmail, got from our good friend Mark Salmella. So let's just read it out loud in a dry run here and see what he says.
All right.
Well, since I'll apparently never be on the show, well, it's okay. We swear we'll do it. It's just that lately we never are quite sure when we're going to record. We just kind of say, hey, are you free right now? Let's go do it. Well, we need a weekend where we know for sure we're going to record it next time.
Why don't you say right now? We'll do it next week, Mark. Talk to Mark and get him on the show next week.
I think we can do that.
This is supposed to be... This was your department. This.
Yes, I know.
Just get it done, Mark.
All right.
I mean, not you, Mark. Get it done for Mark.
I'll contact you. Anyway, he says, I figured I might as well just send in questions and such.
They're always appreciated, Mark.
Yes. First off, from your last podcast where you asked if I had just gotten Sonic Jam, yes, I'd recently picked up my first Sega Saturn. I got a Genesis back in 1992 or 93, and I basically just kept playing Sega Genesis games right until the launch of the Dreamcast in 1999. I played the N64 in such of my friends' houses, but I could never afford to pick up one of my own. When you go back and think about it, times were a lot simpler back then, as you could go to movie stores and basically rent Genesis games for a couple of days at a mere dollar a game. We talked about old Mickey Mouse games last week, and that's basically how I got to play games like that, as I would never have purchased them on my own. It's sad nowadays, renting games at Blockbuster is basically $10 for a game, which is quite ridiculous.
Not with our two free rental coupons. I'm telling you, right after this, we should... Is it a good co-op campaign?
That's what I hear. Let's do it.
Well, maybe we'll. Okay.
All right.
But it's interesting. He just got his first Sega Saturn. I want to say.
Yeah,
good for you. Yeah. Get What does he? What should he get for the Sega Saturn? Real
Stall.
Quick? Yeah, Stall Dragoon. If you got some friends, Stall is good. Another beat 'em up that I liked was Three Dirty Dwarves, which people probably crap on now, but I thought it was sweet. Yeah. Panzer Fighters, Dragon games.
Fighters Mega Mix
was a combination of Virtual Fighter and
Fighting Viper.
That was fun. But Sonic Jam was good to have, obviously. Mm-hmm. Clockwork Night were those two.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, but I'm sure he can find them out. If he wants to know more, we'll talk about it.
So continuing. Oh, and Mike nailed it right on the head as how Sonic games are more than just speed, with basically every level in the first Sonic the Hedgehog game, minus Green Hill Zone and Starlight Zone, focusing on platforming more than speed.
That's right. And I remember Starlight Zone having a fair amount of platforming.
It had those weird little things that moved
But
around.
It was, I think it was the fastest zone.
Yeah.
Thank you. I usually am, right?
It makes me sad to realize that people like us know why Sonic games are so good, yet Sega can't figure it out. If you really want to go back, you could see elements in games like Knuckles Chaotix, where speed took a priority over platforming. Maybe even Sonic and Knuckles, if you want to get picky, although Sonic and Knuckles was still a solid game. Now, Chaotix was a strangely vertical game, I always thought.
It was.
You were usually working your way up more than right.
And I don't want to say, I probably like Knuckles Chaotix more than most people do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I always had someone else to play it with. It was kind of interesting. Plus, the final boss was really cool. That giant Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, it was weird. Yes. And it wasn't the 32X's Sonic CD.
Yeah. Anywho, my questions for the week is as follows. Oh, he hasn't asked a question yet.
That's right.
We're getting some mileage out of this.
That's right. Where are we at right now, real quick? Wow, this isn't nearly as short as I was expecting.
All right,
15
sweet.
Minutes. Okay.
Maybe I'm getting too hypothetical, But what would you think have happened if the Dreamcast was a success? The Sega CD, 32X, and Saturn were fundamentally flawed in their designs, and in the Saturn's case, had too many variables going against it for it to be a success, starting, of course, with the E396 fiasco. The Dreamcast, in my opinion, was killed by two things. One was a lack of support from EA. EA had promised to support the Dreamcast if it could have sold 1 million units or something of that like, and it did in a quick and timely manner. EA then went back on their word and refused to help Sega, which led to all EA games being released on other platforms, which was quite a devastating blow. The other key reason I think the Dreamcast failed was the hype around the PS2. The Dreamcast was selling great until the PS2's launch, and I believe if Sony had ended up delaying the release of the PS2, the Dreamcast would have had enough momentum to stay alive longer than it all did. Right.
First off, even if the Dreamcast survived longer, I don't think we could have had a four-system generation.
I think Dreamcast success means Xbox never happened.
No, because Xbox, from the very beginning, had Halo.
True.
So it was going to be a success, at least the moderate success it was.
I wonder if Microsoft would have even tried to be a fourth pillar.
But they already decided to.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that decision was probably made.
I mean, I know I'm kind of sidestepping his question here, but I just looking back at it, I just don't think the Dreamcast could have. I don't think it had a chance.
Oh, yeah, we should continue reading this because we're kind of stepping on what he said.
All right.
This also brings up the interesting point that if Sega had kept the Dreamcast around and it was successful, then between the GameCube, Xbox, Dreamcast, PS2, the Xbox probably would have failed, and the Xbox brand would not be around like it is today, with Microsoft still focusing on PC gaming. Once again, maybe I'm being too hypothetical, but what would you imagine the gaming industry being like today if the Dreamcast had never failed? Remember that Sega was still releasing top-notch games when the Dreamcast was around, and it wasn't until after they sold out to Sammy that all the good developers got caught and we got left with the abortion that is Sega today.
Again, like, I have a hard time even imagining. Because, like, again, Xbox had Halo from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what else did they do after that? They kind of followed the goodwill of Halo throughout that entire generation.
For a pretty long time,
yeah. They had KOTOR and stuff like that and Fable, but still, it was Halo. So, if we did have a four-console thing, I think.
It's funny to think. You think about it, we're still buying new PS2 games today, which in theory means we could technically be buying new Dreamcast games today.
But Dreamcast had other problems. I mean, this could have been solved with another controller, but it would have been the only system to have a single analog controller.
Very true.
And it was the least
technically capable.
Yeah.
Listen, it's just, it cracks me when people say, like, cite reasons for Dreamcast failure. Less technically capable than the PS2. Came out a year before the PS2 when the market wasn't ready to shift. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's everything PS2 to Xbox.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And to GameCube as well. I mean, the PS2 was the least powerful of the three, and yet it was fine.
Yeah.
So those, I don't see how you can apply those arguments. I think Mark's right. I think EA really had a lot to do with it.
It might have, but I mean, think about it. The Sega games we liked,
mm-hmm.
we loved a lot, like Sonic Adventure, Seaman, and like, Space Channel 5, Choo Choo Rocket, Samba de Eagle. These weren't really your mass market kind of games.
Sonic was.
Maybe.
But yeah, I think it's a shame because we're always crying for innovation, creativity, originality, and that's what the Dreamcast was, and it died a horrible, tragic death.
Right.
When meanwhile, the PS2 like launched with like a NASCAR game, Dynasty Warriors, and like a
that
game
fireworks
with
fireworks, game.
Fantavision,
yeah. And Time Splitters.
And it was fine. You know? It's just, it's sad, but I mean, you wonder why all these development houses only want to do sequels and everything. And
sequels and FPSs.
You can't blame them, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I love the Dreamcast. It's always going to be one of my favorite systems, really. But I mean, I just don't know if it ever had a chance. What if it was successful, what would be different today?
Well, we might have like a Sega system.
Now, all I can think of
right now.
I think we just have a Sega system. I think it would, you know, obviously Sega wouldn't be third party. Maybe Sega games would be better.
Right.
But I think that, right, if they survived last generation, I think they would be last place this generation.
One thing you almost got to wonder, though, is I wonder if Sega, let's say Sega were to have a console launch that launched simultaneously with the Xbox 360, I really kind of wonder what their online presence would have been like, because the Dreamcast
would have been okay, because the Dreamcast was kind of pioneering a lot of
I think that might be another thing actually that hurt the Dreamcast, was it kind of came out right as, not even as we were shifting from narrowband to broadband, but before the shift.
Right.
Whereas the Xbox did come out as that shift was happening. And because remember, people were like, this Xbox Live will never work. It doesn't support dial-up. And then like 6 months later, that didn't matter. But yeah, the Dreamcast had no choice but to come out with a 56K modem. And even when they did bring out the broadband adapter, it was expensive, hard to find, and wasn't fully compatible with all the old online games.
There are a lot of reasons why the Dreamcast couldn't do what it needed to do. And one of the big ones that people don't really think of more is that Sega was not the brand that it was when it was the Genesis. The fact that Saturn, 32X, and Sega CD were big failures, it hurt it as much as anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that might, like, you know, PS2 hype was obviously didn't help, but I think just like that more than anything, sort of the precursor's legacy.
Right.
I think that's really what kind of was the nail in the coffin for the Dreamcast.
Right.
So, I mean, I wish Sega was what it was. I wish Sega is what it was.
Right.
But, you know, it's just...
It's just not.
I encourage, some people, like, they kind of want to, like, hang with it still. And, like, I always believe that you tell the developers what kind of games you want with your money. You know, like, and even, like, I may have gotten that new Sonic game, and I may have enjoyed it a little bit just because it was Sonic, it was like Sonic Adventure, but it was like, enough's enough. I can't buy this crap anymore.
Right, right.
You know, and I can't let them think that this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mark also wanted to remind us. I knew about this name.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to do it.
I kept saying, but he doesn't write the Six Axis report anymore. It's Go Beyond.
Beyond the report. Beyond the report. And the E is a 3.
Yes, it's very clever.
Because the Six Axis no longer exists, technically.
Right, well, they exist, but, you know, it's out of date. I was a part of the Six Axis history, and he was kind enough to mention me when he sort of did, like, the post-mortem on the Six Axis. Because I was in between Mark and the guy who used to write it.
Oh, yeah, you were, like, the kind of middle ground.
Right, because he was just going to take a break because he was having his second child, and then he was kind of, you know, obviously... Then I moved to full circle for a little bit, and Mark came in for that. All right, then. Well, that'll do us.
Yeah, thanks for the timely email, Mark. Well done.
Yes, good work. Hope to hear from you again, AJ. You have to contact him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, take care.
Game Cliche. Bye.